The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Welcome back to K4 Wins. We got the whole crew here, man. We're going to have some special guests who are going to join us next week. But in the meantime, we have Case Kiefer, chief editor of the Las Vegas Sun. We have Kip Kiefer, executive director of the Birmingham Racecourse Casino. Kai Gregory, handicapper extraordinaire. I'm Tony Curry. I've been doing sports radio for 30 years and, of course, also joined ESPN. It is week six. Hard to believe we're almost halfway through the years, guys. It is flying by, and there's so much to get into today. We have only one top 25 matchup in college football. We have UNLV, the quarterback splits. Next thing you know, they're in a top 25 for the first time ever. We'll ask Case to beat that since he's right there in their backyard. Kip is in Indianapolis. We'll see what people think about Alabama being number one for the 141st time and the 109th time since 2009, since, of course, when Nick Saban got there. The South's oldest rivalry is way too one-sided. And I wanted to ask you guys about some Heisman Trophy betting going on, because it looks like Jalen Milroe, I think I saw him +220. It's his to lose at this point after that wonderful game he had against Georgia. But first of all, guys, how we all doing? Everything going good?
Yeah. Traveled overnight, arrived safely in Indianapolis. So we're here for a wedding, and then we're off to Vegas on Sunday night. We can't wait to see Case and all of our friends and family out there.
Fantastic, Case. What's going on in Las Vegas?
Yeah, I mean, while you mentioned Heisman Trophy, it got a smile out of my face. It was a really good week for those of us who took big prices on Jalen Milroe and Travis Hunter. I know I gave them both out on Kip's show going into the year. Yeah. So I wish they stopped and had the voting right now. But unfortunately, we got a few more weeks to get through.
What was that price on Jalen at the beginning of the season? You remember?
I think I got 16-1.
Yeah.
It kind of went down throughout the year. I ended last year thinking that he was in position to win the Heisman. Then with the coaching change and everything, I kind of slowed on it. Then I took a step back and I just thought, man, he is the perfect quarterback to fit what Kalen DeBoer wants to do. So that was one of the last ones I bet. I kind of talked myself into it at the end. And we're in pole position. We'll see how it goes.
Kai, as always, you've got the numbers for us, and we're doing fantastic. And again, we're well documented. You go back and go to our site, k4wins.com. You can see all of our plays, all of our free plays, every play we've ever had, period. And of course, everything is up for everyone to look at. So check it out and tell people how we're doing number-wise.
First off, I'm going to throw in a running back, though. It's not a great price. I liked it when I got it earlier at like 20-1, but Ashton Jeanthe from Boise State, still 10-1, 11-1 in some places you can get. So anyway, last week, 8-4 on Saturday, 7-0-1 on Sunday. Jeez. Pretty good. 2-1 on Monday.
Yeah.
17-5-1 over the weekend, 26-9-3 last week, and 90-49-4. Overall. So, not too shabby.
Dude, listen, I do sports radio. I've been doing sports radio for 30 years, and I've done a lot of handicapping shows. And now that it's wide open, it's the wild, wild west when it comes to gambling. I watch a lot of gambling shows, and I watch the ESPN Bet stuff. And I'm about to say that some of the shows are really good. Some of them are really, really bad. I think ours is like a top five show, but no one's coming close to the numbers that we're putting up right now. The four of us are on fire right now. And normally, you usually kind of go through a cold spell, and I'm gonna knock on wood here, because right now we're smoking hot and we've been all over it. And of course, you listen to the four of us, and we put a comprehensive thing. If Case doesn't like a game and I do like a game, we don't put it up. If Kai and Case are on the same side, we like to push it a little bit more, but we're doing really good. And of course, Kip has been on fire as well. We're also on our show, the starting lineup. Hell, even the legend Kip is 4-0 the last two weeks.
Case had a good lead. Legends tied him up. So the standings are getting competitive.
You just touch us and we're doing really, really well. All right. Let's get into some games, and we got some best bets. We'll get into some big underdogs going on. I mentioned only one top 25 matchup, and of course that's a Mizzou and A&M. Let's start right there, Case. It's a tight ball game. It's only 2.5. A lot of people think the wrong team is favored here.
I feel like maybe all but one show, the game we start with, I don't have strong opinions on it. And this is another
okay.
one. I think the number's about right. I do feel like the perception has dipped so much on Missouri that if I was absolutely forced to make a pick, I might be on the Tigers. I know they haven't looked that great. I think the number is totally justified by what we've seen on the field this year. But I don't know. The Tigers had a lot going for them going into the year. I feel like they've probably held some stuff back towards this moment. So if I was absolutely forced to make a pick, I think maybe Missouri gets it done. But this is not a game I bet. My numbers fall right in line with where it is right now.
Kai, what are you saying? Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Kip.
Well, real quick, I just want to ask Casey a quick question. Kai, also, do you guys think that the number is a little bit affected because people are overreacting to the game with Vanderbilt? It could it be that Vanderbilt deserves a little bit of credit than Missouri deserves to be, you know, kind of underestimated for their close win?
I think you're going to see tomorrow. Vandy is overrated, in my opinion. I think Alabama is going to cover the line relatively easy. I know everybody thinks sleepy game. I still think Alabama wins that game by 28. Missouri, I would agree they've held back a little bit. I don't think they have clicked at all. And tomorrow is a game they have to win. If they are truly going to be, whether it's the SEC championship game or in the playoffs, they have to win tomorrow. And they need to look halfway decent. They don't necessarily have to look great, but they need to look halfway decent, you know, for the eye test, if you will. So I think tomorrow is a big game for Missouri.
Case, what are your thoughts on that? I know you've already given a sign. They swayed.
You could certainly make a case that I do think Kip is right that the market has moved a lot. I think it's just an accumulation effect. I mean, they had trouble in that Boston College game. I think they're against the spread records, probably pretty poor. But at the end of the day, it's hard to say. It's a big overreaction. I made the game. I just called it up. I have it. I made a Texas A&M -1.5 with their -2.5 right now. I mean, that's a dead number. There's really no value either way, in my opinion.
Let's jump into the Alabama-Vanderbilt game. While you don't think that Vanderbilt's really showed anything, Kip, and I agree with you, they are averaging 37 points a ball game. They haven't played anybody. Vanderbilt never plays anybody because they're going to get beat by pretty much everyone. I do love this Diego Pavia kid, 6 touchdowns, 0 yeah. picks. He's having a
well, really, let's point really out, they beat Virginia Tech,
yeah.
who took Miami right to the wire and may have won the game. Who knows the call that took 14 minutes to decide.
But, well, it's the first time in a while,
I think this team has made huge strides forward. I don't think they're everybody's, you know, throwaway Vanderbilt team from the past because of who you just mentioned. Pavia gives them credibility. You've got a top flight quarterback and a warrior like this kid. I think they've got a chance every game.
First time in a while too, you got a dual concept going there. A guy that's averaging 72 yards a game on the ground. And that's always seemed to give Alabama a little bit of fits. And again, we talked about the 6 touchdowns and 0 picks. They're averaging 37 points a ball game. I saw that 55 over under. Alabama 3-1 right now in overs this year. They're having no problem scoring points, and I think that offense is just rolling. To see what they did ridiculous. Against Georgia, I know some people, I thought maybe this would be closer to 58 or 59. It's one of my biggest plays. I'm taking the over 55 in this game. I think it could be over in the middle of the third quarter. All Vanderbilt's got to do is put up a 14 spot, and you're golden in that game. How you guys
see Alabama's particular defense is not that good.
No.
You know, all the Alabama fans are already celebrating a national championship coming up, but when Georgia finally got their act together, they shredded that defense. I don't think the Alabama defense is anything that is going to be, making history this year. The offense is amazing. The skill players, the home run ability, they are absurd. But I'm not that impressed with Alabama defensively.
No, I'm only normally too. It seems like when Alabama's got one of these games, I always want to look at the week ahead. And next week they got South Carolina. It's not that they're going to be looking forward to an Auburn, to a Georgia, to a Texas. They're looking forward to South Carolina, albeit a better football team. We thought that'll be an early game, 11 o'clock game. That'll be the game that comes on after our television show and the starting lineup. Case, love to get your thoughts. So you're right there at Ground Zero in Las Vegas. What are the thoughts on the Alabama Crimson Tide? Obviously, a lot of people think, wow, they're coming off that big win. Are they still blowing some smoke? Are they getting over this big win? Are they ready to take on a Vandy that could be perceived as a little tricky?
Yeah, we've seen a little bit of Vanderbilt money this week. I know it was as high as 24.5. It opened down to 22. So, there is some sentiment on the Commodores. I have a tough time going there, especially below 24. I'm not rushing to lay it with Alabama either. The Crimson Tide still kind of scare me how boom or bust they are. I mean, I feel like this is a kind of a volatile team. I could absolutely see them being in a battle if they're not hitting those big plays. But more than likely, they probably win by about 3 touchdowns, right? What this is. I will say we've also seen some under money. I see one of the big national sports books this morning moved to 53.5. So line shop, you like the over. I think you made a good case there. It's another game I don't have a bet on. But yeah, 53.5 just without running any numbers. I don't do a ton with college totals. 53.5 does seem probably a little low on my first reaction. So maybe see if there's still some under money.
I know a man that loves his totals. And I love that too, because I love playing me some overs. And I know there's over players out there. Kai has got a ton of first half plays on team totals as well. You're looking at this Alabama game. What do you think, Kai?
You know, I can see, just because it's, you know, a 3 o'clock game, and maybe Vandy, maybe, you know, Alabama doesn't hit big plays early on, but Alabama scored over 40 points every game. Mm. Well, guess what? Their team total is 39.5.
Ridiculous.
I think the best play in this game is that over. I think Alabama's going to score 42 points at a minimum, or maybe just 40. But I really think they're going to score a little bit more than that. So if you look at what they've done every game, and I don't think Vandy's defense is superb, but if Vandy's going to put up a few points, like you said, that's just going to give Alabama more possessions, which gives their offense more opportunity for big plays to get over that 39.5.
Get to our free site, k4wins.com, k4wins.com. We're going to give you out a ton of plays. We all give out 3 or 4 plays, but we'll have opinions on a lot of other things. Perhaps you'll like some games, and you can use our opinions, and we're on fire, man. It's one of the best sites out there, k4wins.com. Another game that obviously a lot of people have a lot of juice and interest in is the South's oldest rivalry, and that is Auburn at Georgia. And Georgia giving up, just like Bama, around 23, 24, 24 and a half. Auburn's first road game of the year. It's going to be October 5th. It's hard to believe they have not been on the road yet. The Bulldogs have won 26 straight at home. Of course, that big streak was broken by Alabama last week. They also have Georgia, Texas, and Ole Miss on the horizon. So some people perhaps, are they looking past the Auburn Tigers? That's not good for a program when everyone is looking past your program. I hear people saying they may be looking past the Auburn Tigers. I'm like, ooh, that's not a good thing for you, Freeze. But he's sitting there 2-3, and the Auburn Tigers 1-10, last 11 straight up against the Georgia Bulldogs. Case, any chance the Auburn Tigers, that number looks really, really big to me.
I bet Auburn plus 25. It's moved a little bit now. Not one of my bigger bets of the week. Not something I feel super confident in. But, you know, I think if you can take a step back from the collapse last week, and I think a couple, maybe one or two of you were on Auburn. I was on the Oklahoma side. I got lucky there. So sorry about that.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. But I think you.
I chalked it up thorned. As a winner in the fourth quarter.
I did too. Yeah.
You didn't get lucky. We got thorned.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Freeze.
I think you take a step back and you got to feel kind of good about the strides Auburn made. Again, I've been the biggest, well, at least here, I'm sure there it's different. I've been a big Peyton Thorne hater, not wanting to bet on him. But I don't know, this number's awfully high for a team with at least a competent defense. They did some good things offensively until the turnover. You know, even if he kills you again with a pick six or a turnover, I mean, you got 25 points. I know it's only like 23 now. I would say hopefully it gets back up to the 24, and I think there's a good chance it will before kickoff, but I don't mind taking a big number with Auburn. I think they keep it at least a little bit competitive.
Case, does Las Vegas put anything into the fact that Auburn has not played a road game yet? I know a lot of people are like, they've been so comfortable at home, they haven't unpacked a suitcase in 5 weeks, all of a sudden they're on the road, they're going to get hammered. Is there any reference behind that?
Well, I mean, maybe that was part of the opener and part of the a big number to start. Like I said, it's been Auburn money since then. I don't know how much all these groups and people shaping the market put into that, but I do think there's a little bit of an adjustment. Like I said, I might have gone in the opener. I also he doesn't say much, but I was kind of talking to Brock Bowers about this game in the locker room the other day, and he's like, oh man, they gave us hell or whatever the year they almost beat them. So I don't know, it seemed like the Georgia guys on the Raiders at least were a little bit more worried about it than a 25 point spread. At least,
by the way, the last three times Georgia has lost, it's all been to Alabama since 2021, and the week after they played Alabama, 63-3, 34-11, and 14-3, they've knocked off their next three opponents. They come out a little angry after they lose ball games against the Crimson Tide, not so much against Kentucky back in 2021. Kai, what's your thoughts on Auburn Tigers? I know that a lot of people in this state who are big Alabama fans would love to see them get drubbed. I just can't imagine them getting drubbed by that much.
I think it might be a good thing if they're getting out of Jordan-Hare. Maybe get away. You know, a lot of times that's what teams need, is a change of scenery. I couldn't bet on Peyton Thorne if you paid me. If I played this game, I would play Georgia. I would probably play under, but when I look at the over-under, you know, Auburn put up a ton of yards last week on Oklahoma. I think it was 489 yards against a defense that's supposed to be pretty good. I know Oklahoma was missing receivers and missing all kinds of people, but You know, Auburn has three very talented wide receivers. And if Auburn's quarterbacks could actually throw the ball within 5 or 10 yards of them instead of to the other team, then they've got a chance at making plays. So I can see why you would take the 25. Obviously, with Case, you know, if it stays under 24, you know, maybe get a middle there. It's probably not a game I'm playing. You know, we're going to talk about it on the starting lineup Saturday morning. And I'm sure that as a part of those marquee matchups, I'm going to take Georgia just because, you know, the legend will be standing there and I want to hear it. So, you know, but, you know, for me, that's it's probably a no play for me.
Kai Gregory will join us here in the starting lineup if you're watching the show here locally in the Birmingham metro area, ABC 3340 from 10:30 to 11 o'clock, and then we'll kick off that big ball game, of course, Missouri and A&M. Tennessee, Arkansas, we got to mention this because we do have a big homer up in the upper left-hand side of our Brady Bunch box. something pretty amazing about these two teams, and of course Tennessee giving up 13 in the hook right now. 8-1 these two teams are against the spread so far this year. Right now Vegas is loving Arkansas and loving some Tennessee, and now they meet head to head. Let's go to the man who loves his Tennessee Volunteers. They're 4-0 against the spread. What do you see this week?
I think it's a very interesting spot. Tennessee getting back their two starting offensive tackles, I think, is huge. Seeing that Slaughter is going to be out for Arkansas, I also think is huge. I'm not convinced this Green character at quarterback for Arkansas is the real deal. Tennessee is as deep as anybody. They're front four defensively. James Pierce has been called out by the Tennessee faithful because he has done less than nothing this year against no competition. I look for him to really get after it. Maybe it's a little bit of a homer play, but I think Tennessee's going to put up points. You know, their team total is sitting at 36.5, which if it was 34.5, I would absolutely hammer the over. The 36.5, I'm kind of sitting back waiting, but with 13 points, I do think Tennessee wins the game by 2 touchdowns. Maybe that's a homer play. It's just going to depend on the start of the game and how they start out. It being a night game, and people don't realize Tennessee, pretty much all their games, night games, and all the rest of their games, night games. Arkansas has not played at night yet.
Kip, Tennessee is one of those 8 teams in the SEC. It's in the top 25. The cream will rise in Tennessee. An interesting game this weekend as they go on the road. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm really impressed with Tennessee, and I think they're only going to get better. I will say this for Arkansas. I mean, we look at all these cream puff schedules and so many teams have still not played anybody. Arkansas has had a brutal run here.
No doubt.
If you really kind of look at it, they've been on the road at Oklahoma State and Auburn, won one of those games, took another one to double overtime, been to Dallas to play Texas A&M. So they haven't had many days off except for Pine Bluff in the open. So the Razorbacks have been kind of in a stretch, so they're a little more battle tested. But this is a big challenge to try to slow down Tennessee, especially on a bye week. And Kai says the key fact that a couple offensive linemen are back, that's huge. I don't know. I have a hard time seeing the Razorbacks, you know, covering here. I like Tennessee, but I do respect what the progress has been made with Arkansas because they're a pretty scrappy bunch.
They are indeed.
Tony, real quick, mm-hmm. and something to point out, and I know Josh Heupel allegedly came off the gas, but, you know, they had the Oklahoma's defense had Tedford at Oklahoma for a while, who is part of the same offense that Heupel runs. Well, Briles was at Arkansas for a while.
Yep.
Same mm-hmm. thing. So Oklahoma saw some of the offense and kind of knew what they were doing. Same thing with Arkansas. So there is a case to make there that defense is going to be as prepared as anybody that Tennessee is going to see because they've seen this style before.
Is anybody more quiet than Bobby Petrino? I mean, I didn't even know where he was at until I saw, you know, a few weeks ago, and I was like, holy smokes, he's back at Arkansas doing his thing, man. I didn't think a lot of people even realized where he was going.
Just biding his time until he takes over as the interim.
He's waiting for Pittman to kick the can.
I mean, I think I told Case this story, but I've got a nephew who is playing high school football in Arkansas, and he's already been contacted. He's only a junior this year. He's already been and he's a defensive player. That's the big key. He's a linebacker. He's already been contacted by Arkansas, not by Sam Pittman, but by Bobby Petrino. Marino, which I found very interesting. The offensive coordinator is already recruiting a defensive player in Arkansas high school football. So a lot of the boosters, they think Petrino hung the moon. Remember the couple of years he was there, he really put Arkansas back on the map. And then he had the scandalous situation of hiring an assistant without going through protocol, and then wrecked his motorcycle with her on the back while being a married man and such. So, but a lot of people will overlook that at Arkansas and say, we want him back at the helm because he was taking us to the promised land and got interrupted.
Yeah, we've been hearing that Bobby's been hanging out the local Harley Davidson dealership. So that may not be a good thing going on here.
It's funny how much this all ties to here to UNLV. If you remember, he took the UNLV offensive coordinator job for, I think, like a week or two, and then went to Arkansas. Now, if UNLV's fans, best thing that he's behind Sam Pittman, because I think Arkansas would have honed in on Barry Odom, given his history with the program, what he's done here. Yeah. A lot of UNLV's best players are Arkansas guys. They have their best defensive player, maybe an All-American, Jackson Woodard, is from Arkansas, went to Arkansas. I think they have like six Arkansas transfers on this team. I know we're lingering for a long time on this game, but I also just got to say it because I do point out when we're a little different. I actually like Arkansas in this game, plus 14. Sounds like I'm a little higher on Talen Green than you guys. I don't think they're going to win outright or anything. And it doesn't feel great when I love Tennessee against NC State, against Oklahoma. Those were two big bets of mine. But I kind of similar to the Auburn game, honestly. I feel like I'm embracing volatility this week where there's these much bigger spreads. You got to know that maybe they can just get blown out. But I do think Petrino's pretty creative offensively. I know how good Tennessee's defense is, but I wouldn't be surprised if they find a way to keep scoring points with Tennessee and make this competitive. I just look at it more as like a touchdown to 10-point game. 14, you're paying quite a tax on Tennessee, and maybe they deserve it for what they've done so far this year. But I was waiting for it to hit 14, and now that it hit 14, I feel pretty good about Arkansas. Right.
It's hard to believe, too, despite the fact we're sitting there saying these teams haven't played anybody. We're into week six. I mean, if we don't know what we got now, you know, at week six, even if you're playing the Pine Bluffs of the world, you have to find out what your football team's all about. All right, so we've walked into the Golden Corral of college football this weekend. We'll talk about the pros here in a second. And you looked at all the games in the boards. Are you going to the prime rib? You going to the wings? You going to the chocolate pudding factory? Where are you going there, Kai Gregory, with some of your plays? What are some of the things? I know you got a lot of weird looking plays this week because you're looking at a lot of halftime lines, a lot of team totals, but what's sticking out to you? We'll go around the horn.
Well, you know, I think, and I want to hear Case's take on this. The game tonight, with that line, that total dropping to 57, I really kind of liked the over in the UNLV Syracuse game. You know, Boston College getting Castellanos back, getting their quarterback back, and they're getting a point on the road. A team that I'm high on, I was high on them last week, I'm higher on them this week, Navy at Air Force. Horvath, I think, is the legit deal at Navy at quarterback. I'm really liking them. The Pitt-North Carolina line is throwing me off. What's the coordinator's name? Cade Bell. At Pitt, they have been putting up points left and right. Mm-hmm. Very, very young coordinator. And they're going in, and they're 16.5 team total in the first half, and their team total for the game is only 34.5. I'm like, hold on. You know, North Carolina gave up 70 to James Madison. Does not have the offense they have. They just gave up 21 to Duke in the second half alone and blew a total. I really love Pitt just about every way you can bet their offense and the game. As well. I think that Tulane is going to go over the 34.5 against the Blazers. I think UAB's in for a really, really long season, and I like the points that Tulane's been putting up this year. And then, you know, big question, and I know Kip is going to talk about this. I know tomorrow as well we talked offline a little bit about the Ole Miss-USC game, but my biggest question is going to be for South Carolina, is Sellers healthy? Because if he's not, Robbie Ashford is horrible. He was horrible at Oregon. He's horrible at South Carolina. So a guy to bet, you know, against. And then I really look and see Indiana, who's 5-0, and they're 13-point favorite at Northwestern. I really like Indies over there, 27.5. So a whole bunch of team totals. I don't love a lot of spreads, but I like a lot of team totals and over-unders.
Mm-hmm. Of course, that Indiana team, that offense is unbelievable. And that's a team that had the over, which I had one of the few games I hit last week when they took on that other team that was putting up a lot of points. And then, of course, being Maryland didn't cover the spread. Kip, what do you like? What's are you looking at the Golden Corral? You got a bunch of different games. I know you like to play a lot of different things, but to college wise, what's sticking out to you?
Yeah, I don't love this week particularly, but I do like a couple teams, and I mentioned it out of place yesterday because it's just kind of on my mind. But I think Virginia Tech is the classic team that just put it all out there and came close to the shocking upset traveling down to Miami last week. Now they're in Palo Alto, California. This is still a team that lost to Vandy in the opener. They're a big road favorite. Stanford went to Syracuse and did a good job of beating them outright. You saw them last Saturday night, Tony, in Clemson, and they got kind of boat raced, but that was to be expected. Second week on the road on the East Coast. I think Stanford going back home has a good chance to upset Virginia Tech. I think people, once again, are very reactionary in the market, and I don't think Virginia Tech is really that solid a team. They played a great game against Miami, but you start to wonder how legitimate Miami is. Yeah, sure, they blew Florida out. Then they played four straight cupcakes and almost lost at home as the celebrated juggernaut team. So that's one of my kind of sleeper games this week. I like the Stanford team to at least cover. They're getting almost 8.5 or 9 at home, but I think they could actually win outright. I don't have a lot.
It's unbelievable. I had the screen up to talk about one game, and I wouldn't bring this up, but it's just, I wish I could turn it and show you. I have Virginia Tech Stanford up because I was thinking I was going to give out the other side. There's been a real push and pull in the market in this game, but it all comes down to how much Ashton Daniels is worth, Stanford's quarterback who got hurt last week and isn't going to play. I just think he's their whole team. So I know this got out all the way to 10. And then I actually know one of the guys that bought back huge on Stanford that's more of a numbers guy and just thought it was too much. I don't know. Just when you lose a guy, it's your whole team like that. That's a lot to me. So I swear I wouldn't have said it if it wasn't literally the game on my screen, but I was planning to give out Virginia Tech. So that's all right. Ahead, it'll be interesting.
Well, I'll say that.
I had seen a report that he was supposed to play, but I don't know if that's accurate.
And I'll say this, having put eyes on this guy, Stanford looked really good in the first half against Clemson. Clemson ended up winning that game 40-7 only because they stopped making mistakes like they did in the first half. I mean, they had all kinds of issues in the first half. Klubnik's not a good quarterback. I don't care what you say. He overthrew a couple of guys that were wide open that football game. And I know they just went through the hurricane. Half the campus had no power, so everyone was kind of in a funk. It was a nighttime game. Half the people that worked there wanted that game canceled. They wanted that game postponed because no one could even take a shower for 3 days before that game. But they got it done. They got the cover. So it was kind of strange. Kip, what else is sticking out to you? Anything else?
One last thing on this game.
Go ahead.
I'd say in Kip's corner, Stanford big coaching advantage. I really like Troy Taylor. I hate betting.
I do too.
I'm not sold on a prize. So I think there are arguments in Kip's direction, but yeah, I'm on Virginia Tech this week.
That's interesting. Well, my other game is about the same kind of scenario because Kai mentioned it before. I was so impressed with South Carolina mauling Kentucky, and we've seen now Kentucky's legit. They took Georgia to the wire, and last week they were my best bet of the week on the starting lineup to just cover 18, and they went outright in just a tremendous effort, knocking off Ole Miss. Now Ole Miss goes to South Carolina, so this is the round robin being completed, and they're catching a bunch of points at home. I just like what I've seen from this team, but this comes down to the same key. Kai mentioned it before, is Sellers going to be healthy enough to play? Because the calculation on that game changes a lot if it's Robbie Ashford, who I agree he can't throw the ball from here to the back corner. So it's just a game that I just think the line's way out of whack, because that was the first test, and Kentucky's offense isn't even that legitimate, but Ole Miss has the basically bought and paid for completely transfer defense, and they played a dreadful first four opponents. The first real game they had at home, they end up losing the game outright. So I don't like them as a big road favorite. I like South Carolina, especially if Sellers is 80% healthy.
Case Kiefer, of course, a guy who's been riding the Sam Houston State squad. They get it done again last night.
East Carolina.
They win by 20 last night. They're now 5-1 against the spread. I got to ask you, you had them last night, right?
I did not, unfortunately.
Oh, no. Hell, I even had them last night.
We posted Sam Houston State last night.
Okay, well, they've been good to me, so no complaints. I hope they keep it going. I think I mentioned on here before they're my one future in the CUSA. I think I got them 30-1. So I think Liberty looks vulnerable. I think someone's going to get them. Hopefully, it's our Sam Houston State squad.
Any other games that are sticking out to you out there in Vegas?
You went with the buffet reference. I'm definitely not going to the Carving Station. I'm more like the roadkill this week. At least points for like a lot of ugly games. This one has moved a lot. The thing I bet the biggest going into this week was Colorado State plus 14 at Oregon State. The Rams have been absolutely terrible. If you just look based on this year, this number is totally justified. It's down to 11 now. I still think anywhere over 10 is good. I just think that they had a bye week. I think they can kind of settle down, get it together. Oregon State has like the least returners in the nation. I think really this program's a lot more devoid of talent than people think. Jonathan Smith brought some guys with him to Michigan State. They saw a lot of other guys leave. I think they've kind of punched above their weight. It's not like they've been great this year, but they've been okay. But I think you kind of see both these teams regress to their true level. So I like Colorado State plus 14. Off the top of my head, as I gave that one out on Kip Show, the starting lineup with I know Arizona on Saturday. I also like Hawaii in the Mountain West at San Diego State. I feel like San Diego State's getting a lot of credit for going and winning at Central Michigan last week when Central Michigan is just has no defense, really down. I know they're usually one of the better programs in the MAC, but I've not been high on them this year. I actually thought Hawaii would be a slight favorite in this game. You can get three, so I got Hawaii plus three. And to stick with the low level games, I guess, let's see if I got another one. Toledo minus six hosting Miami of Ohio. The Red Hawks are another team that I think is down and the market hasn't caught on to just how down they are yet. Like if you look at their statistical profile, I mean, they're not even in the top 100 in most all-encompassing metrics. This was the same spread, the MAC championship game at a neutral site last year. I know Miami of Ohio won, but man, they're just a lot different team now. I don't know if you saw the viral clip too of their coach complaining that Alabama stole their kicker. They don't have a kicker either. I don't know. I think Toledo, I always like to bet against, talk about coaching handicapping. I think nothing of Jason Candle. I think his team's always underperformed, but talent wise, I think they should probably be over a touchdown here against Miami of Ohio.
There are three games that I actually like, and I put them up in the starting lineup as well. And I am going to take that Alabama Vandy game over the 55. By the way, both teams matched up 3-1 against the spread. Vanderbilt's 3-1 against the spread this year. It's hard to believe they are playing better than a lot of people think. They actually can. 7-1 in overs between Alabama and Vandy. By the way, I expected to go 8-1 after they put up at least 55 points in that ball game again. Vanderbilt has got to do their share of the work. They're putting up 37 points a ball game. Another game I think is really interesting we haven't talked about is Jeff Brohm's Louisville Cardinals. They're playing some great football right now. He's 13-5 in his second year there. SMU obviously is one of those teams we've been talking a lot about, but they're 4-8 straight up and against the spread against Louisville the last 12. And Louisville's been favored by 7.5 points three different times this year. And in those three games, they've won by an average of 36.3 points per ball game. So when they're favored, they put the foot down. They don't let up. Like Louisville to give up the 7, maybe even 7 the hook. I think they're going to get it done. Another interesting matchup in the Big Ten. And I love these first weeks where Oklahoma's got their first SC game. The first Big Ten game on the road for the Washington Huskies. It's just so weird to hear the Washington Huskies in the Big Ten, but they're giving up a pair of points, 2 points to Michigan. Washington has played absolutely nobody. Weber State, Eastern Michigan, Northwestern, Rutgers, at least Michigan's played some squads. They played Minnesota, USC. They played Texas. They're catching 2.5. I like them as a big dog. Alex Orgy, of course, is the dual guy. Not put up great numbers, but I think they're going to go more pocket with Warren. He does have 2 touchdowns and 6 picks, but he does run the football pretty well. And I think the over-under on this game is like 42. I think it's really low. I think it's going to be a mud bath. And I think anytime you get points in a game like that, I think it's probably going to be impressive. I think it's going to probably be like a 23-20 or something like that. And I think Michigan gets the better of that. So I'm expecting to make that happen. I did want to mention, because everyone's asking about the UAB Blazers, obviously not the team and the season they've wanted to have up to this point. They're 1-3. They're 7-3 at home against the spread the last 10. They play really well protective, although they did not play well last week against Navy. But they're going to be catching 15 at home against Tulane. It's a game that Trent Dilfer needs to have. He had some issues this past week, of course, talked about the Crimson Tide, said something about his grandson coming up, and of course, didn't make huge news national, but here locally, it certainly did. He had a chance to back up on that on Monday and did not. And I do a show with him every week called The Inferno, and I love the fact that he's transparent and he's real in everything he does and say, I'm rooting for him. But this is a Tulane squad. If this was last year, UAB would be favored in this football game. Catching 15 at home seems like it's a lot of points. It's almost a smelly fish to me. It's so many points. I would jump all over UAB and sit back and hope like hell that offense finally shows up, because I know Jacob Zeno is a great quarterback, but 15 seems like it's way too many for the UAB Blazers to be catching at home. So I don't know what your thoughts on those games.
That game's interesting. Actually, we saw some money on Tulane again this morning. They're up to 17 at a lot of books here in Vegas.
Wow.
I'm glad to hear your thoughts, though. I always talk about the good numbers I get. I get bad numbers, too. I bet UAB plus 15. I'm not totally sold on UAB. I wish I would have waited to take 17, but like you said, UAB's played good at home. I still think they have the offense to keep up. I mean, Tulane's been putting up a ton of points, so especially at 17, I would lean UAB, but someone with a lot more money than me likes the Tulane side.
There you go. Let's look at the Sunday slate, unless you guys got anything else in college you want to get to.
Tony,
yeah.
I just want to point out one thing. All right, preseason, Case, where in week 6 would game day be? Where did we think game day would be tomorrow in week 6?
That's a good
state in Tallahassee, Florida State, Clemson. Oh, we haven't even mentioned the game.
No. Oh, God.
Moving on.
No, we haven't. Well, and that's been
or Washington, Michigan, and Tony, just because it's the national championship rematch, but it's not too ballyhooed with Washington having losses to Washington State and Rutgers.
And I can't
believe Michigan barely winning games at home after they've been there for 5 weeks.
I can't believe
Rutgers.
I cannot believe the loss of one quarterback can change a football team as much as it has at FSU. The fact that we're talking about this team should have made the playoffs last year. Look at what they're doing right now. One player removed. I know they lost some other players as well, but that's a bad football team. I mean, they look like they have to me. I mean, and Case can talk about this as well. They have given it up. They want Coach Norvell fired. They're showing up on the football field.
He's lost the locker room.
The locker room. And once you've lost the locker room, this ain't a movie script. You ain't getting it back. And it's hard to believe this guy was 13-0 last year at one point.
But you got Brock Glenn starting a quarterback for Florida State this weekend. And what was the score of the last game he started? Yeah. Oh, that would have been versus Georgia, 63-3. Mm-hmm. And I think he started one other game where they put up a touchdown and got beat by 30. So how in the world can you bet anything but Clemson? But the line's only 14. Good grief.
No, you say 14, but again, before the season, this was going to be a top 10 matchup, right? I mean, Florida State was number 10. This is going to be a top 10 matchup. You're right. College game day, they had this thing circled. That was the one game they didn't have to worry about. And Clemson, albeit they lose their first game of the year again, just put my eyes on this foot. This is not a good football team. If Clemson's playing Georgia, they're getting beat by 30. Dabo needs to go to the transfer portal and start picking some players out is what he needs to do, because his quarterback Klubnik is not he's not a great quarterback. He's put up some big numbers, but he's doing against inferior competition for sure. All right,
listen, the
transfer portal giveth and the transfer portal taketh away, though, because last year the Seminoles crushed the transfer portal, and that was the biggest part of their undefeated season.
Yeah. Yep.
I kind of thought they were going to do it again, and that's the problem this year is they just haven't hit on the guys. So it really is a roll of the dice.
They spent a ton of money on this defense, and they have been abysmal from the opening snap of the season. So, I mean, you just don't know. I mean, I guess we're going to have to watch. Ole Miss is, to me, is still another good laboratory experience. They started off great, but they played nobody. Their defense is basically the same way, kind of bought and paid for. I still think that's going to be something to study and see how successful just stocking your team is and trying to make them a coherent and cohesive unit, just in one set of practice time. I think the jury's still out on if that's going to be effective.
Does anybody feel like Lane Kiffin just not a good fit there? I think Lane Kiffin is a good coach. I think he could be a great coach if he's in the right situation. They showed him last week. I mean, he's dressed to the nines. He looks like he should have been hanging out picking up 17-year-olds in the Grove with that.
Well, his girlfriend's only 23, so
Well, and his wife was a smoker too. I mean, I'm getting it. I mean, that may be the only reason he wouldn't leave Ole Miss, but for some reason, man, he just, it's something just doesn't gel there. And for some reason, I feel like he's just looking for the great season to get to a New Year's Day bowl, just to jolt and get the hell out of there again. I don't know where else he would go because he's bounced around to a different team, seems like every 2 or 3 years, but for some reason, he just doesn't seem to be a good fit at Ole Miss. Yeah. Maybe.
From what I hear, Florida's going to be circling the wagons on him. I don't necessarily, I might be going a little bit differently. I feel like he might be a better fit at Ole Miss than Florida, just because I have reservations about him, but I feel like he's a guy that's always going to have good teams, but it's hard for me to see he's going to win like a national championship or something. Ole Miss, the expectations are a little more reeled in. So if I was him, I might stick it out at Ole Miss a little bit longer. Mm-hmm. I think if he goes to Florida and signs that big contract, it's going to be tough to live up to. I wouldn't put it past him. I guess I'm a little higher on him than you guys, but I still feel like he's more of the guy that settles into like that 8-4, 9-3 range.
Do you think he has a better shot at winning a national championship at Florida than he did if he got hired at Auburn?
Ooh, that's a great question. I wish I could see that. I would say Florida slightly, just, I think that if they get their NIL train fold, I think it would be a little bit more than Auburn. And I think that's what he does best is getting these high caliber guys.
He didn't want the Auburn job because he said it was too weird. I mean, I know that for a fact. He's like, listen, I'm not a good fit down here. This is too strange down here. And there's better looking women.
If you know anything about the internals of Auburn, the smoke filled room in the back with all of the big boys led by the Lumber King, really kind of calls a lot of the shots there. They always have. Pat Dye was right in the middle of that until he passed away recently. Lane Kiffin is kind of a maverick. That would not be a good environment for
Kip,
Lane.
Kip, they could not offer him, and I know this from Terry Henley, they could not offer Kip enough money. He said they offered him $20 million a year. Now, I don't know if that's coming, but he's like, no.
I'm just telling you, that's not a fit. And Ole Miss, Case is right. From an environmental standpoint, Lane can pretty much do what he wants, be who he wants to be. They dream of great accomplishment, but if he can go 8-4 at Ole Miss, they're going to be thrilled with that.
Yeah, maybe he goes back to pros or goes back out to USC one day or something. I don't know. What do you guys got on pros? Anything kicking out as we come to the end of another fantastic show, week 6? What you got?
Check out everything on LasVegasSun.com. I'm trying to get the board up now. I had a huge week on NFL last week. Hopefully we can keep it rolling. I know I like Houston at home against Buffalo. I think this is possibly an AFC championship game preview. I just think Houston hasn't put it all together, but from a roster quality standpoint, the Texans just have no weaknesses. I think one of these weeks they're going to get it all together. Teams typically underperform a little bit when it's back-to-back road games. Buffalo just played at Baltimore Sunday night. I really like the Bills. They might even be my Super Bowl pick out of the AFC right now, but like I said, I'm high on Houston as well. It's hard for me to get to them being a home underdog here. I guess it's my curse to bet against the Chiefs every week, but it worked last week. At least they covered. But man, they're just so beaten up, running backs and receivers, mm-hmm. that they don't have any really playmakers right now. So the Saints right now, I still see there's 1-6 on the board. The Saints +6 looks pretty good to me. I picked against, I think on this show last week, one of the ones I gave out was I really like the Bears against the Rams, similar because of injury concerns. I just feel like the market and people aren't realizing just how beaten up the Rams are at like every position. Maybe they get healthier in a week or two, but I wouldn't mind laying the 3 on the road with the Packers. That stadium's going to be all Packers fans. Anyway, I don't think there's much of a home field for the Rams in this game. So Packers -3, another one. I guess I gave 2 underdogs, so 2 favorites to go with the 2 underdogs. I like, I'm surprised the 49ers game, you can still get 7s basically all across the board, split between 7 and 7.5. I'd probably slow at 7.5, but I think the 49ers are still awfully good and the Cardinals defense is pretty bad. I wouldn't be surprised if the 49ers hand the Cardinals their second straight blowout loss. So I don't know, there's 4 off the top of my head. Packers, Niners, Saints, and Texans.
Kip and Kai, everything sticking out to you?
I'm agreeing right there with the Texans.
Yeah, I like that.
And I never would have thought this before, but how in the world, I mean, I'm going to take the team total with Washington over 23.5 until somebody stops Jaden Daniels.
What is going on? Cleveland's amazing.
I don't think the team to stop him. I don't understand why Minnesota is only a 2.5-point favorite over the Jets. Somebody knows something better than me. I don't know. Watching the Jets last week and seeing how bad they lost that game, gave it away, stunk all the way up and down the field.
And you know what? We waited a year and a half. We waited a year and a half to see this experiment. And I mean, if I'm a Jets fan, yeah. I am totally underwhelmed. I don't know what they thought Aaron Rodgers would come in, throw 400 yards. He's never been that guy. He hadn't been that guy in 5 or 6 years. He needs a good running game. He's still a great quarterback. He's a Hall of Famer. But this Jets team, it ain't that much better than it was last year with him. I mean, it really isn't. If they couldn't win it last year, I don't see them making a run there. That's an ugly game. I'd hate to have to tailgate. I think I'd stay in the tailgate. I was watching that game this past week. The Jets are not a fun team to watch. They're not. They just aren't.
I think your Bengals get rolled this week.
I bet the under in that Jets-Vikings game, nothing on the side. There's some concerns about the Tottenham field that it's really slick and I think I got 39.5, or maybe 40.5. I don't have it in front of me, but I still think the under's pretty well there. Looking ahead, I agree with you guys. I lean the Vikings, but I'm kind of hoping the Jets somehow pull this out and combined with our Texans take care of business. Because if the Bills and the Jets are sitting with the same record next week, I think you're going to see the future prices in the AFC East kind of come down. I wouldn't be surprised if the Bills are like minus 120, even minus 110 would be a dream. I'm looking ahead. If those two outcomes come, I'm going to smash the Bills in the futures market divisionally. I already have them to win the Super Bowl in the AFC, but have nothing on the division. If they're sitting with the same record, I think we're going to have a price that we can exploit next week with the Bills, especially with the Jets about to get Devontae Adams probably too. I think the Jets, everyone loves Aaron Rodgers because of what he's done in the past. I feel like they're going to be overvalued if they win this game. So kind of hoping they find a way to pull it off.
Case, when you go to bed at night and close your eyes, do you just see numbers?
My phone's in my hand and I'm scrolling through numbers. So yeah, unfortunately,
there's just numbers everywhere.
I'm trying to think of myself.
I can ask the group a question, Tony.
Yeah.
How horrendous are the Miami Dolphins?
And again, Tua Tagovailoa is going to be out, and they're saying he's coming back. It's not going to be another year before he does. If in fact he does, this football team is one of those teams that just looks so ripe. Everyone just loves what they're going. And again, just having that quarterback. And I think Kansas City's kind of going through this right now. You talk about how banged up they are.
And how can you not invest in a competent backup?
No.
I mean, both of these guys can't
Not when you're
play.
That close. Not when you're that close, because everyone was saying that Miami was a quarterback away from winning a Super Bowl. And if that's the case, then they should be right there in the mix, but they're not. Great stuff.
I think the Patriots beat them this week.
Yeah, great stuff, guys. Week six, again, go to K4Wins.com. 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 You get all of our plays. It's a free site. It's fantastic. Go check it out. You'll get all of our plays. And, of course, we do daily plays, too. So we got Major League Baseball going on right now. I know a lot of Braves fans not real happy about that. Baltimore Orioles fans not happy either. But we got Major League Baseball going on. We got hockey starting here in just a couple of days, which I cannot wait. And next week we'll be talking some NHL. We'll talk about the Knights and things like that in Las Vegas. So lots of things to be looking at on the board. And of course, college football always king around here in pros as well. Gentlemen, thank you so much. We'll catch up next week.
A lot of fun. Thanks.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.